Today on Wings, Women and Food Security.
For every starving child, there is a mother, hopefully alive, also hungry, and in deep despair that she cannot provide her child with adequate food and nutrition for health and for survival.
There's a river of birds in migration, a nation of women with wings.
Welcome to Wings, a series of news and current affairs programs by and about women around the world, produced and distributed by the Women's International News Gathering Service.
On October 14, 2014, the United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization, known as FAO, hosted the Committee on World Food Security in Rome. While official representatives of the world's nations pondered at length, a one-hour side event gave space to the topic of food security related to women in conflict situations. We'll begin with Lois Herman, an organizer for the event. Herman is a delegate to the FAO from the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom. She is also coordinator of the Women's United Nations Report Network, which aggregates news about women and UN issues online. Her presentation was a slideshow. Wings has edited it lightly to retain the verbal pictures.
The Women's UN Report Network is based on a UN study. It addresses the human rights, oppression, and empowerment of women and girls all over the world. And the reason that my colleagues and I wanted to have this panel today is that we see many women falling through the cracks. One Run presents a lot of research, of academic papers, reports. But when you come to the core of the issue of food security in conflict, it comes down to feelings. So what I hope to do today is put faces on who are those women in the field who are suffering without adequate food and may not be documented. We know of the conflicts in some 32 countries. The women grab the children and may have to run instantly, and they may never know where the next food is going to come from. I have a few of the UN documents included. This is the International Covenant on Economic, Social, and Cultural Rights about the right to food. Syria, where how can we reach the women and children who are on the run, who are not in refugee camps, who are not documented, and who are trying to survive? And when there is a sudden conflict, when you wake up in the middle of the night and you hear armed forces outside your door and you grab your children and run, who gets left behind? The displaced are also handicapped, elderly, sick. Not everybody can run. This is very painful for families to be broken in the midst of war and conflict, also natural disasters and climate change crisis. Israel and Palestine, the tensions continue. The definition of food security, we talk about it a lot. We talk about food sovereignty. What are the words that say it like it is? And it is a human right. It is to be enforced. But that's very hard to do in today's complex and volatile world. Historically, there are many memories of the same kind of struggle, a woman with a child on her back trying to get under a barbed wire fence in Zimbabwe. How does it feel? How does it feel to be going through this terrible time and not be able to give your child water, milk, or food? Here we go, around the world, Syria, dying babies, because they don't have enough food. And in some cases, you can't get the aid into them because of the conflict dimensions. For every starving child, there is a mother, hopefully alive, also hungry, likely poor, and in deep despair that she cannot provide her child with adequate food and nutrition for health and for survival. Intersectionality. You can't take food security and draw it out as a singular issue. It needs to be intersected with education, with health, with forced marriage, with land and housing, migration, trafficking, prostitution, and all the human rights issues that relate to the right to food. Gaza. This is a land-grabbing situation, also very much on the screen of the right to food and food security. Running in Somalia for how many years? There are many internally and externally displaced women and children who don't show up in camps, don't get registered, maybe with family, maybe with friends, maybe moving around, and very hungry. Girl child soldiers, the comfort women, Ukraine on the headlines, Latin America, Yemen. I would love to be able to talk to you longer, because I think you understand why we're here, what we're hoping for, that these women and children in the field, in the conflict, in the crisis and the disasters, know that we care.
That was Lois Herman from the Women's UN Report Network, which can be found online at wunrn.org. Next, from the same panel about women and food in conflict situations, you'll hear Hilal Elver. Originally from Turkey, Elver was appointed UN Special Rapporteur on the Right to Food in May 2014.
The conflict situation is extremely important, especially recently. We thought that after Cold War, we will not have any conflict. There is no East and West. There is no Cold War period. And the human rights will be implementable and everything will be perfect. But it didn't work out that way. Now a lot of areas, regions are in a kind of continuous conflict, not maybe always the big hot conflict, but internally and externally, and the neighbors having a serious problem because of ethnic problem, religious problem, and resource conflicts. And if we look at the security studies areas, a lot of professors are working on this issue. Right to food and food security is part of the discussion of the reason of the conflict. But generally, it is not the subject that during the conflict what we have to do for maintaining, especially for women and children, their food security. This is something that recently started coming to the conversation because especially in the Middle East and Africa, a series of conflicts are going on and there are refugees internally and externally displaced people, and many of them lack legal protection because the status of these people is not legally protectable. There's a legal gap in protection of women and children in times of conflict. Yes, we have this international humanitarian law principles, the Geneva Convention, we all know about it, but the food security and the women and children, especially civilians, even protected by the Geneva Convention in a general principle, we need a specific protocol maybe focusing on women and children in the conflict zone because they are the most vulnerable victims and innocent victims because men generally goes out to war and they deal with external issues but the women stays in the conflict zone. And generally in the conflict zone, the food issue becomes kind of weapon to really destroy the societies. In this sense, we really need a kind of legal protection to make sure that during the armed conflict, that kind of situation should be seriously considered and also maybe even part of the crimes against humanity we should really think about this. crisis because we never considered food security part of the crimes against humanity. Maybe it is time to do that, because if you look at recent, for instance, Sudan case or Syrian case, the conflict is becoming a kind of food security, and the food activity interrupted such a way that the impacts is longer and deeper. Of course, CFS, the Committee of Food Security, is in the process of discussing right now protracted crisis. It's an important document. And of course, conflicts are not only about armed conflicts, but there is also conflicts because of the natural resources and extreme weather event. And this kind of, especially extreme weather events, are not part of our concept of refugees. We have to really include right now new concept to the new developments of the world or new problems of the 21st century to make sure that especially vulnerables should be protected directly. Yes, indirect protection is there, but we need also direct protection.
That was Hilal Elver, UN Special Rapporteur on the Right to Food. Also on the Women and Food Security Panel in Rome was Ilaria Bottigliero, Director of Research and Learning at the International Development Law Organization.
My organization, the International Development Law Organization, is the only international organization with a focus mandate on the rule of law. We're actually the only organization that do nothing else but look at the rule of law and how the rule of law can help development and especially sustainable development. Our vision of the rule of law is quite broad. We don't see the rule of law only as rules, procedures, court systems, training of judges, training of lawyers, but we see the rule of law really as an enabler of sustainable development. And one of our focus areas is working with countries that are emerging from conflict, working with countries in fragile situations, working with countries that face difficulties in their governance structure. And within those countries, we take special care of the needs of women and the situation of women. And that's why I'm very, very pleased to be here today to talk about why is the law important for women. Even when we talk about food security, when we talk about food, we don't necessarily link the issue of food with laws, policies, regulations, and the like. But it is essential for women to reach a situation of food security. There are laws and regulations and policies in place that allow them to do so. I brought some statistics talking about displaced women and children. It is very clear, and research indicates, that where families have been displaced because of conflicts or natural disasters, access to food and control of food are frequently used, for example, by soldiers or other providers as a bait to entice young girls and women into survival sex. The question of transactional use of sex food increases levels and vulnerability to HIV, which in turn then exacerbates food insecurity cycle. It is also very widely recognized that due to food scarcity for themselves and their families, women in refugee camps are frequently forced to leave such camps to look for food, and that places them in danger of rape and sexual violence outside the camps. There is also quite strong evidence indicating that domestic violence may have increased as a result of protracted displacement. Women could be at risk from men who felt emasculated by camp life and the inability to provide for their families. For example, in Bangladesh, frustrations and the lack of space provoked very high levels of tension within refugee households. In Chad, we have evidence to show that domestic violence increased after distribution of food supplies because men who may have recently returned from the Central African Republic sought to control the use of food rations. Even in cases where gender-based violence does not directly coincide with food insecurity, it is true that food insecurity and gender-based violence actually reinforce each other. For example, women victims of gender-based violence may not leave an abusive relationship because of the fear that they may not be able to feed themselves or to feed their children. What we have learned at Idea Law from a series of interventions in the field is that many times women's access to justice needs to be enhanced in order for women to find some form of remedy or some form of reparations when their rights have been breached. And the question is not very simple, because many times women's access to justice is not necessarily through the formal courts, but they may access informal justice settings, they may access the regular courts, they may access justice mechanisms that are in the middle, in between formal and informal. But we have learned that empowering women to access justice could be part of the solution.
Ilaria Botillero from the International Development Law Organization, speaking at a side event of the UN Committee on Food Security, held October 14, 2014, in Rome. The fourth woman you'll hear from this panel is Marta Benavides from El Salvador. Benavides is a biologist, a feminist theologian, an educator, and a practitioner and teacher of the food-growing method known as permaculture. She was included in the panel to represent the kind of grassroots perspective rarely heard in United Nations venues. The moderator noted when he introduced her that El Salvador had just suffered a massive earthquake.
Buenos días. You know, we have lots of earthquakes. So imagine the poets say, it's the valley of the hammocks. It's nothing so nice about being in a hammock to be in a quake, you know. And we have had civil wars, and we have experienced the colonial and conquest experience too, you know, and so that creates very special conditions because it changes the history of the people, and especially those who are now considered to be in vulnerable conditions and which we wrongly call people who are vulnerable. You know, communities and people, and in the case of women and children, are not necessarily vulnerable, but they are placed in vulnerable conditions because we are not paying attention to whatever are the situations that they have to face. What I have found is that the people that suffer these conditions are very, very resilient, and they really are very creative. And so it is there that we have to start to figure out the solutions to all the problems, because they have to face them, and they come with many solutions. Sometimes they are very short-sighted because of the conditions, but in all, we can see the creativity and how they really respond to not only figuring out how to survive, but how to have a quality of life and the right to live. You know, we have a right to development. We have a right to self-determination. All these conditions have to be considered when we are looking at these particular situations. I was talking with some of the people before I came, and I was telling them that there were going to be people here talking about these issues and with women, and they said, there is no irregular displacement. Any displacement is really forced, you know, be it because of the impoverishment situation. Like in Europe, there is a lot of displacement going on right now, and displacement can be also that you don't have a right to employment, and so you end up living with your parents if you are a young person, and what does that determine for your future? Food is not a commodity. Food is a human right, and therefore we have to look at the frame of human right. You know, a human right to life and a human right to food means that those things that determine that you have food when you need it and the kind of food that you need has to be considered from that perspective. Therefore, we believe that we have to start not with food security positions, but with a position of food sovereignty, which means that you have to look at the right of people to determine how you live, how you solve your problems, and how you make decisions about your life. So the UN has been going through the MDGs, you know, the Millennium Development Goals, figuring out how to go into the sustainable development processes. And when we talk about food sovereignty, food security, that is about sustainability, the ability of people to provide the sustenance of life, which is not just food, but the conditions that allow you to live and enjoy life. We believe that, therefore, this whole understanding about how do we solve the problems have to come also from the sustainability process. It's a peace issue. This is what the UN is about, to guarantee peace. Peace is about the enjoyment of life. And so we are requesting and asking people to look at these conditions and situations and how to look at the short and long-term solutions, not as false. You know, we shouldn't be looking at false solutions. False solutions, for example, is to have food security that doesn't allow the sovereignty and dignity of people. And for there, the people that are put in the most vulnerable conditions have to be accompanied from the beginning, and it is right there that has to start.
Marta Benavides from El Salvador. On Wings, you are listening to women speakers from the panel titled Women, Food Security, Conflict, and Peace, held during the Committee on World Food Security meeting in Rome in October 2014. The panel was organized by the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom. Questions from the audience came from experts from organizations.
Good morning. I'm Maria Hartl from IFAD. This morning on the radio I heard that another 180,000 people are displaced in Iraq. The numbers are just so overwhelming at the moment, and I would like to ask a question similar to the one that was made before. What would you actually think is the most important that we, working in these organizations, and these side events are an opportunity for us to listen to you and to bring together experts? What should we do faced with this overwhelming reality at the moment? For IFAD, of course, this is trying to build communities, to build resilience. But sometimes we think everything can be washed away in one armed conflict. So I would like to invite you to give us an answer what we should do.
Thank you. Ilaria, per favore.
Thank you for the questions.
Ilaria Botillero, Director of Research and Learning at the International Development Law Organization.
I don't think this panel can resolve necessarily the extremely important and difficult questions that have been posed. However, if you asked me which are the areas in which we should be investing, I would say invest in long-term structural changes that affect women. Food insecurity is not necessarily and exclusively the lack of food. When we're talking about women, food insecurity derives from an entrenched gender inequality. It's a question of discrimination. It's a question of power asymmetry. It's a question of lack of opportunities. It's a question of violence. It's a question of entrenched discrimination against women. So if you want to see long-term results, you have to empower women to be equal partners in society and to have a chance to perform equally as men in society. Your crops can be destroyed by natural disasters, your crops can be destroyed by war, people can be displaced by war, but when you invest in women's education, in women's empowerment, in women's access to justice, access to land, access to credit, access to resources, access to technology, access to financial assets, that's when you build the capacity of your people to react to displacement, war, violence, natural disasters, and that's when you see long-term results. So I would say invest in women, in the long-term growth of women.
One of my priorities is the protection of women and children and dealing with the international humanitarian principles in times of conflict.
Hilal Elver, UN Special Rapporteur on the Right to Food.
Generally, as we know, there is a humanitarian aid in international conflict, but we have to be very careful about the international humanitarian aid because this aid should be, first of all, culturally acceptable and also should not be destroyed the local market principles and the local people's lifestyle. Sometimes in this kind of period of destruction and conflict, the international aid comes and transforms the market, the local market, completely to a different thing. Maybe we really have to make a rule that this kind of aid should consider local producers, women and children, part of the production, not only the aid receiver.
I think that what we are saying is that we really have to look for real solutions and not false solutions.
Marta Benavides from El Salvador.
For example, false solutions for us is to solving problems without taking into account all the aspects that we have been talking about. False solutions for us is, for example, saying that we are going to empower women. Women are powerful. This is like when we tell a little child, you know, you have to be this and study the other so you can be somebody. That was being said to a 9-year-old girl, you know, and she said, I thought I was somebody already. See, because the system creates conditions so that we are nobody unless we play with the system. And so we are being formed and shaped by the system as it is, which is, you know, the system creating a lot of the problems, as we are saying. So I am encouraging us to really continue with this work. The Millennium Development Goals was all about this, you know, eradication of poverty. Well, that is really relating to health, you know, food, and everything. But how we define each one of these is very important. So now the UN is working with the sustainability processes, and we have to be very mindful and paying attention and monitoring and making sure that our governments go there to do what needs to be done instead of just dialoguing and coming to conclusions that then later on it's not clear what they're going to be doing about it. She was talking about, you know, looking at food security, and in our case we are talking about food sovereignty as an issue of crimes against humanity. Well, young people in Latin America are saying that anything that is really doing harm to people and nature should be crimes against humanity. And those that are involved in obstructing the processes and the agreements that have to be about creating real development and therefore real security and real peace, we should consider taking those situations, those persons or countries that are creating those problems as crimes against humanity and therefore being tried in the International Criminal Court. So going from the MDGs to the Sustainable Development Goals and then to the negotiations right now, we see that we have a vast knowledge and conventions and all kinds of things. How do we implement them in the ground? This is what the UN is calling the second dialogue. I don't know if many of you know about it, because it's being said and very quietly, and it's happening in some countries, but it's not really something that we have been working as extensively as the MDGs and the Sustainable Development Goals that are being negotiated right now. Localizing it, territorializing it is how we are talking about. It has to be implemented in the ground very intentionally and with committees that involve everybody so that they understand, they know all this information and all these processes and agreements, so they see how are they really happening in your community, in your home. And so I think that this part of territorializing it, making sure that it's in the locality that it happens, it has to be the measure of how good we are about peace and real development and therefore real security. And I urge you to pay attention to these things, because that's the real investment, that it happens right on the ground. And then we will be able to look at the conditions that are really being faced by everybody at the community level, and then take those experiences with all the vast knowledge and, you know, the frames of human rights and legal situations to the top. You know, it has to go from the local to the global and the global to the local. And that is very, very important. And we urge the industrialized nations and the citizens from those nations especially look at that.
Marta Benavides from El Salvador. Wings thanks the UN Food and Agriculture Organization, especially Maris Gavino, for audio from the panel Women, Food Security, Peace and Conflict. The entire one-hour panel can be found on YouTube. For the link, or to hear this program again, email wings@wings.org. Also, please like our daily news feed at facebook.com/wingsradio. Thanks to all our supporters, including your local community radio station, Suzette Cullen, and Genevieve Vaughn, author of the book Forgiving, A Feminist Criticism of Exchange. The Wings sound logo is from Libana's album A Circle is Cast. I'm Frieda Worden. This is the Women's International News Gathering Service.